The Trucking Driver podcast is sponsored by the UK's leading wholesale supplier of truck tyres, International Tyres, where you'll find a huge range of tyres at great prices. You can order online at internationaltyres.com or give their specialist sales team a call on 0121 552 6888.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Arden sitting in for Dougie once again. Today I'm joined by Chris Coghill, the creator of Coglock. Hello Chris, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you Matt, how are you?
Yeah, good mate, good. Quite a good finish today, which is nice, so all is good, yeah. So
that's it.
Yeah, so you're not a driver yourself, Chris, so how on earth did you end up involved as such with the haulage industry?
Yeah, so I'm an ex-mechanic, so I did my apprenticeship when I left school when I was 17. Did my apprenticeship for John Lewis on the spanners. So yeah, that's how I got into transport industry. Never been a driver. I've got my HGV class one, which I got through being a tech, so you know I can drive the trucks and all that sort of stuff. But I've come in through being a mechanic.
Yeah, fair enough. It's never appealed to you going out on the road?
Do you know what? I'd love to have gone out on the road. My passion's tinkering with stuff and diagnosing, which is probably one of the reasons why I come up with Coglock, to be honest with you. It was just ever since I was little, I was taking stuff apart, seeing how it worked, putting it back together.
Trying to improve on things.
That's it, exactly. So I love driving the trucks, but I get my kicks from diagnosing and fixing stuff.
Fair enough. You're a wise man, I think a lot of people say. So tell us about Coglock then, because it's not very often these days, I don't think, that a sort of new innovation comes along that could be potentially so changing, when a lot of people think a lot of things have been created and a lot of people think that technology is arriving for technology's sake, for argument's sake. Mirror cam on trucks is a very abrasive subject. Some people love it, some people hate it. Definitely. And it's, whereas what you have created, I think, could well be a vital game changer, for want of a better word. It's not, I'm not a big fan of that word. It seems to get banded about an awful lot.
Yeah.
What you've done could well be just that.
No, I appreciate that, and hopefully it is. So a bit of background to Coglock. So taking you right to the beginning, so when I come off the spanners and started going into workshop supervisors and depot managers, I ended up as a fleet engineer. Depot manager and fleet engineer, I was looking into wheel loss, because normally when a wheel comes off, it goes back to the maintenance provider, the last person that had that wheel off. And that's sort of where the investigation starts. So the amount of wheel loss investigations I had to deal with, that was either down to an indication device being fitted, so like a wheel nut pointer or something like that, but it wasn't physically locking the wheel nut in place. Or there's some devices out there that will lock the wheel nuts and stop them from turning, but they don't actually give the driver any indication if something's gone wrong. So if a tyre fitter or a mechanic's not bolted a wheel back on properly, we're then putting locking devices over those wheel nuts and giving drivers absolutely no chance of spotting if that wheel nut's loose. They don't always come loose by a wheel nut from turning. What might have happened is if someone's bolted a wheel back on and there's dirt or rust or something like that on the mating surfaces, it clamps that dirt or rust between the mating surfaces, and then over time that could dislodge and you've now got a gap. Now if you've locked that wheel nut in place, you've now locked a loose wheel nut. So like I say, drivers have got no indication that that's loose. Which then in turn vibrates and rattles and wears away the wheels and the studs, and eventually you could have a wheel come off like that. And then the third variable was them not being checked in a workshop. So the majority of technicians, really good, will take wheel nut caps off, or ancillary devices that are placed over them, they'll take them off, check the torque of the wheel nuts. But I'm very much in the real world, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are too, where that's not happening on every inspection.
No, and unfortunately it's not just from the smaller companies, it tends to go up all the way through the scale. I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but I've heard quite a few horror stories of people who really should be looking after these things, and people are paying them a lot of money to do so, and they are simply not bothering. Yeah,
and this is a scary thing as well. It's normally down to time constraints or just the fact that they're getting a bit complacent.
Yes.
If there's a cap on there or something like that, I don't need to check it. It's going to be tight, but sometimes they're not. So, like I say, they're the three variables that we've got: an indication that's not locked, a lock-in device that's not giving the driver any indication to get it checked, or the fact that they're not being maintained properly.
Yeah.
So the way that my brain works is diagnose something, learn from it, make it better, and let's stop having wheels coming off.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought, well, let's give it a go and see if I can figure something out that will do it, just to stop wheels from coming off. And there was loads and loads of different designs that I tried, didn't really work very well, and then eventually got to a design where there's a pin that goes in the middle of the wheel bolt.
Yeah.
And it's then got like a little clever little locking mechanism inside the wheel bolt that as a wheel nut turns, the pin pops out the middle of the bolt. It shows a red collar, so they're giving the driver an indication that something's happened.
Yeah.
But by the pin popping out, it then engages a locking mechanism and locks the nut to the bolt.
Okay.
So it stops the nut from turning any further. And because it's all integral to the actual nut and bolt itself, there's no need of putting anything over the top of them. So when they're going in for periodic inspection or driver walk-around checks and stuff like that, the actual wheel nut and bolt can be seen.
Yeah.
And at the very, very least, it can be tapped with a tapping hammer.
Yeah.
If not, have a torque wrench put on it properly.
Right, okay.
it takes away the need of removing anything to do the checks.
Right.
So it just makes life a bit more convenient. And at the end of the day, if it's convenient, the chances are it's going to be done more often than not.
Absolutely.
So that's essentially what makes Coglock very different to anything else that's on the market, is the fact that it incorporates those three things, which in my experience and a lot of people I've spoke to, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners will agree, that those three things, so the indication, the lock-in, and the ancillary devices over the top, if we can eliminate all of those three things in one product, then wheel loss should be a thing of the past.
Yes, definitely. And it's quite scary, actually, how many are happening, because I think one of your statistics was about 400 a year. Is that right?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's wheel detachments.
Yeah.
There's more than one a day
in the UK.
Yeah, and, it's scary.
And funny enough, a chap who I know, he works for a fairly large company, and they had somebody lose a wheel only a few weeks ago. And I mean, not only from the safety aspect, obviously, if a wheel comes off completely on a motorway, for argument's sake, that's a projectile, that's a heavy projectile, and can cause an awful lot of damage to a lot of things and people. At a worst case scenario, obviously, you could ultimately kill somebody.
Definitely.
To the lesser aspect, obviously, the inconvenience, the cost, so on and so forth, but also you're instantly, the DVSA, you're going to go straight onto the red from whatever colour you are, because that's showing a complete lack of, walk-around checks or maintenance.
Yeah.
There's clearly an issue there that the traffic commissioner will take a very dim view on. And so, therefore, you're opening yourself up to a whole load of more checks and so on and so forth. And I think a lot of drivers as well don't seem to grasp the fact that ultimately, it's as a driver, it's our responsibility to check their wheel nuts on a daily basis before we take it out on the road, because we're ultimately signing that defect book to say, yep, they're good to go on the road. And if you're getting complacent about it, as the vast majority of people will be, I know they will be. You know, again, that's going to eliminate that. And also, like you say, they should be talked up to the correct newton meter, but there's so many old sort of old school fitters, tire fitters, so on and so forth, and they'll just put the torque wrench on there and just ram it home and keep going.
Exactly. They say the old-fashioned thing, then they do it up 10 dugger-duggers.
Yes.
It's with the noise of the wheel nut that's rattling away with the wheel bolt. It's just, and that's where the complacency comes in. And Sorry to jump in on that, but you're saying about the complacency and this, that, and the other, and the DVSA and the traffic commissioner and all those sort of people that would get involved when wheels come off.
Yeah.
You've got operators' licenses at risk. You've got directors of companies that are going to be criminally convicted. They can be held criminally responsible if something goes wrong. You've got public inquiries, you've got downtime of vehicles, it's all of these things. I mean, even if you have a loose wheel nut that is kept internal, you've still got downtime of vehicle.
Yeah.
And while it's off the road having wheel nuts and bolts replaced, it's time that the vehicle could be on the road.
Absolutely.
So essentially what we're doing is, it's a little bit like an insurance policy. The way that I'm looking at it, in the fact that I've been in the real world and I'm developing a product with mechanical, technical knowledge, and you know, I know a lot of drivers in the industry. I've got family that are drivers. I've got, you know, really close friends that are still mechanics on the spanners. I've worked with those people, with tyre fitters, mechanics, drivers, you know, the people that are on the ground that are doing it. And the last sort of 6 months or so has been testing with those people to make it as user-friendly, as easy as we can to deal with. Because the last thing I wanted to do was go and release a product that was an absolute pain to use and added time to the day. We've tried to simplify it, make it as easy as we can for people to use. Because like I say, if it's easy to use, the chances are it's going to be used properly. If it's a pain in the bum to use, it's just going to be another product out there.
No, exactly. So is it... So is a coglock the whole wheel stud, the whole lot, or is it just purely the nut on the end?
No, it's the whole wheel bolt and the nut. The locking mechanism is inside the actual bolt. And then inside the nut, there's some grooves that basically, difficult to explain it, but I'll try my best. So in the bolt, there's a pin that comes out on the threaded section.
Yes.
So as the threads of the nut are covering that, it basically holds it down and holds the center pin into the middle of the bolt.
Yeah.
As the nut turns, there's some grooves in the thread.
Yeah.
So that then allows, where the grooves are, it allows the little locking mechanism to pop out into the groove of the thread of the nut.
Right, okay.
And then that then allows the centre pin to pop out and it all locks in place.
Right.
So it all works together, wheel bolt and nut.
Yeah.
Initially, obviously, the nuts and bolts will need to be replaced. But the way that we've designed it over, and we've done a little bit of product development with the testing, the centre pin can be removed.
Okay.
So it basically, it stops it from being damaged from when you're taking wheels on and off.
Right.
But it also allows that if that pin does get damaged or it seizes up or something happens to that center pin, that can be replaced very easy and very cheap.
Perfect.
You don't have to replace the whole wheel bolt. You literally just push the pin in, turn it to the left, which unlocks it and takes it out.
Right.
And then you can refit a new pin within 10 seconds.
Oh, so, perfect.
And also as well, with working with the people that are on the ground doing it, the first thing that people come across, and people said this is going to happen, and it is going to happen, that you have to unlock the center pin to remove the nut.
Yeah.
When sort of version one of the bolt, the center pin was made out of metal because I wanted to make it as strong as I possibly could.
Yeah.
But what happened is someone put a wheel nut gun on the wheel nut and undid it without unlocking the pin.
Right.
And all that happened is it ripped the threads out of the nut because that was the weakest point. And if that happens at 2 o'clock on the side of the M1 in the morning, you've got recovery back. You've got driver stuck in a very dangerous situation on the side of a motorway while he's waiting for recovery back because you can't put wheel nuts and studs back on.
Right, yeah.
So the part of the development is the center pin is made out of quite hard plastic.
Yeah.
So it's designed to be the weakest point. So if someone does put a wheel nut gun on it, doesn't unlock it, it'll push the locking mechanism into that center pin and damage the center pin.
Right.
And you've now got a conventional nut and bolt to get back.
So worst case scenario.
So it's in the nicest possible way, it's idiot proof. not that I'm calling anyone an idiot, but it's the good old saying that if someone, you know, I've been there, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning
and they don't know,
you're still half asleep and they don't know about exactly that and they just put a wheel nut gun on it, it's not going to affect drivers, it's not going to affect operators.
Yeah.
They can run it back as a normal wheel nut and bolt, and then they can replace the centre pin very cheaply, very quickly, and get it back out and get it on its way. We did actually have one customer that trialed it. Definitely. That's what it's all about. It's about minimizing downtime. It's about mitigating the risk to the operator, giving them a little bit of an insurance policy that, look, if a wheel nut does turn, it's going to catch it and it's going to stop a wheel from coming off. And that's my biggest philosophy on this. Is that we're stopping wheels from coming off. I'm not trying to stop wheel nuts from turning because... Again, being in the real world, we're never going to stop wheel nuts from turning. For as long as people are bolting wheels onto trucks, the soft, squishy bit in the middle that's bolting it on is normally the thing that's gone wrong.
Yeah.
So while people are going to make mistakes, we're never going to stop wheel nuts from turning. But if we can stop that wheel from coming off by catching the wheel nut and giving the driver an early enough indication, then we can stop those wheels from coming off and bouncing through a bus stop full of kids.
Yes, absolutely. So is this a technology that can be used on any axle on the vehicle, or is it just the drive axle? Or can it be put on any wheel?
Nope, it can be put on anything. So at the minute, because we're quite early stages, it's anything 18 ton or above at the minute. Just because it's a 22 mil thread. So we have got designs for smaller, so we can go down to 7.5 tonners and stuff like that. And eventually it will go down to 3.5 tons. So you can put it on things like sprinters. But in the early days, it's going to be anything 18 ton or above, powered or trailer. You know, we're quite limited stock being quite new, but what we are doing, the product's due to be released early next year, so it's not actually available for sale at the minute. Just because we want to make sure we get enough testing over the next, I mean, we've had quite a lot of testing already, but now it's starting to get cold and salt on the roads and lots of dirt and, you know, all that sort of stuff. We just need to make sure it can actually withstand all of those
winter conditions, those elements. Yeah,
definitely that, mate. Because again, it would have been really easy to have not given it some real world testing and throwing it out there
in the middle of summer when it's all nice and dry. Well, maybe not dry in the UK, but
yeah, exactly.
It's sort of warmer.
I mean, we've got a good range of testing where we've got some different operators. So we've got some fleet operators, we've got some off roaders, we've got people that are going really horrible, nasty conditions. We've got trucks that are doing long haul stuff right up to the Outer Hebrides of Scotland, where there's already snow on the ground, just to give us a real good indication to firstly identify any teething issues before we release it en masse. But also to support our claim that it can do what it what we're saying it can do. So the reason I'm saying this is we're offering a pre-order at the minute, where if someone's interested, they can get quite a substantial discount on a pre-order until the end of November. Ready for the release in the new year. But that will then indicate to us what we need to order, if that makes sense. So if there's no point in ordering 100,000 units of DAF if everyone that runs Scania wants them and no one wants DAF. So a bit of a long-winded way of answering your question about does it fit everything is, yes, it does. We don't hold stock for everything at the minute because it's still early days. But we're taking pre-orders to guide us on what stock we need to get in. And then eventually, once as the business grows and it becomes a more common thing that's fitted, we'll obviously hold stock for everything.
You're listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by commercial tyre specialists International Tyres, who have a massive range of truck and trailer tyres available at competitive prices. You can order online at internationaltyres.com or give their specialist sales team a call on 0121 552 6888.
When you say, obviously, the truck manufacturers, will it also work with trailers, with super single wheels?
The actual technology itself is only in the end of the bolt itself. The technology and the patented design and all that sort of stuff, that all covers in the end of the bolt. So the only things we change is the diameter of the shoulder, where it's going through a hub, and the length of the bolt. Everything else, it's really good how it's in the end of the bolt rather than the other end.
So for argument's sake, if you've got a fleet of like mixed vehicles, you could interchange if you needed to. You wouldn't have to think, well, them wheel nuts have got to stay with that truck because it's a Volvo, and that, you know, if you see what I mean. And that's
So the bolts will be different. So the actual wheel bolts themselves, because different manufacturers have got different sized hubs, different splines, all that sort of stuff, they are specific to the truck. But the actual wheel nut themselves, the wheel nut is universal that goes across everything. Brilliant. It's just a standard 22 M22 thread wheel nut that you can swap and change.
Excellent.
But you will need to order vehicle specific bolts because they are all different.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, well, it sounds like a really good. It's such a sort of simple idea as such, isn't it? And it's
yeah, really simple. And that's the whole point of it. We're trying to make it simple because if you overcomplicate stuff, it becomes a pain to use.
And oh, absolutely. And like we said earlier, if it becomes a challenge, people just aren't going to bother. They're going to say, well, we've got our indicators already, and blah blah. Because I do remember there used to be some. I'm terrible at describing things, but these indicators that almost look like a pair of glasses. They were joined together, weren't they? Two plastic, you know, wheel nut shaped markers, similar to what most people have got, the directional indicators these days. But they were joined together, and I think the theory was if one would loosen, it would tighten the other one. But I could never quite see how plastic like that would actually tighten an actual metal wheel nut. I mean, I presume it must have been tested somewhere along the line, but
I think the way that they work is that if you've put them on two adjacent wheel nuts, is if one's tight, it stops the other from turning. Which they, to be honest with you, they do a good job at stopping wheel nuts from turning. But I personally think we're missing the point with that is. Then wheels don't always come loose by a wheel nut turning. When you've got the scenario, and I dealt with one where a wheel was changed on a quarry. The wheel was dropped onto some dirt, some clay in the quarry. Tire fitter didn't clean the mating surfaces. So as he's bolted the drive wheels back together, he's got, I don't know, let's say 5 mil worth of clay stuck between those two wheels. So he's torqued them up, he's got a tight torque, he's then put those locking mechanisms over the two adjacent wheel nuts, which has locked those wheel nuts in that position. Over time, the water and the vibration has washed away that dirt between the mating surfaces. You've now got a big gap where your wheels are rattling around, but you've locked your wheel nut in place.
So it's going to...
And it's given the driver no indication that wheel's now loose. And all that's going to happen is it's going to be continue to drive without the driver knowing anything about it. And causing damage to hubs, wheels and studs until eventually they could snap and a wheel could come off that way.
And I remember, I mean, I learned the hard way back when I was 17 or 18. I had a Mercedes 814, I think it was, and they were quite they were quite notorious, them old Mercs, for the wheel nuts coming loose. And I had a puncher somewhere up north, and so I had to go into the tyre company. And when they took the wheel off, the wheel nut holes were oval-shaped because the nuts had come a bit loose and wrecked the wheel. So, you know, I got a bit of a telling off, and, you know, it's a lot of the time in this industry, you learn the hard way, and that's... From ever since then, I've always sort of paid attention to the wheels and the tyres, because I was a tyre fitter for a while as well, so I just I can't help but walk past vehicles and just glance down at the tyres. It's just inbuilt into me. So it's a lot of it is from learning the hard way. It's the same a lot of things that you'll have a go at something, you'll make the mistake and think, right, I don't do that again because this is the right way to do it. So.
That's it, and that's the way that we learn, that we learn from mistakes. And I think the bit that baffles me is that we continue to have wheels from coming off, and we're not learning from what we're doing, and they continue to come off. And this is where I'm hoping that this comes in, is the fact that I've seen this, and I want it to stop. I don't want a wheel bouncing towards me. And we spoke about it earlier, about it being a bouncing bomb. Some stats, if a wheel comes off of a truck, so if it's a 22.5-inch rim, so a normal tractor unit or an 18-tonner or something like that, if that comes off at 56, the centrifugal force of that wheel can make the wheel reach 90 miles an hour. And if it bounces, so let's, you know, those fancy new concrete central reservations they put in with a bit of a lip that goes up to it, that's now creating a nice big ramp for that wheel to hit and go up in the air. If that goes up in the air and comes down, if it lands on top of a car, it's the equivalent of 5.5 ton of force, which is a large military tank or a cruise ship anchor.
Blimey. That's,
and if that's landing on a car with somebody in it, you stand no chance. You stand absolutely no chance. And that's if it bounces once and hits a car. If it bounces and it keeps bouncing,
It could take out several.
It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Or a motorcyclist, you know, that just doesn't bear thinking about, really, does it?
No, not at all. And one of the main things that gave me the kick up the backside to do this, because obviously I've been in the industry a while now and I've seen wheel loss and was thinking about doing something. And I suppose many moons ago, didn't have the experience or the contacts in the industry to be able to do something and just put it off. The bit that gave me the real kick at the backside was I saw a news article. It was on BBC News, popped up on the M6. I think it was about 4 years or so ago now. A smaller wheel come off, a 7.5 tonner, and it bounced over the central reservation and it hit a Peugeot and peeled the roof off like a tin can. But the wheel landed in a baby seat.
Right.
And luckily there was no baby in it.
Yeah.
But if there was, it scared the life out of me. Yeah. And I thought, no, this needs to stop.
Because it could be your family, couldn't it? And it's the same with
exactly. With
so many things in this industry, in this world. I try and make people aware of, speeding, speeding, you just think, well, if you wouldn't want your family walking out in front of someone like yourself doing 40 rather than 30, obviously not yourself, but what I mean? And just think, and people like going off on a tangent, I know, but when trucks are overtaking other trucks and they won't let each other pass, they have a big queue behind them, I just think, if the emergency services are trying to get through, they could be trying to get through to help your family, and through your ignorance, you're holding them up for no good reason whatsoever. And it just really frustrates me. And I'm sure most truck drivers who listen to this will have at least one non-transport related friend has said to them at some point, why do all you truck drivers sit next to each other on a dual carriageway holding everybody up? And it's just through ignorance and laziness and whatnot. But I know I've just gone off on a tangent on it. But
it's all right.
I've got to vent.
Start charging you for counselling soon.
So, ultimately, long term as such, would you hope that the manufacturers themselves would adopt it from new? What do you think the chance would be of that?
That's the end goal. So what we're trying to do at the minute is get enough awareness about it, get enough big players backing it.
Yeah.
That when we go to the manufacturers, my end goal is this, and it sounds a bit head in the clouds, but at the end of the day, I've got to dream big with this one. It's essentially the next seatbelt.
Yeah.
So it's the new safety standard. I've had some really, really good interest from a few people in the DVSA and from the IRTE. So there's some quite senior people in the industry that are sitting up and looking at this. Obviously, it's still very early days. But I suppose now is the time to put the proof, proof's in the pudding at the end of the day.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Get them fitted, get some big operators involved, protect their fleets, protect the drivers. And ultimately, the end goal with this is that this is then the new industry standard. Every truck that comes out is fitted with these so that we can put a stop to wheel loss for good.
And I think the way a lot of the industry works is, if you can get in with a fleet of, let's just say, 100 trucks, for argument's sake, and after, say, a year, they can turn around and say, right, we've not lost a single wheel. And so, for argument's sake, that has saved us, let's just say, £5,000 on the loss of downtime from potentially losing one wheel. Our safety rating with the DVSA has gone up, so we're now on double green, so on and so, and all the positives. And then other operators will look and think, right, well, because costs are so tight in this industry, operators will think, right, that's going to save us, speculate to accumulate. If we spend spend 10 grand to save 20 grand, it's worth doing and get it done. And then it's one less thing we've got to think about. Our drivers haven't got to think as much about it. And by the sound of it, like the maintenance people, it will need minimum training for them to operate it as well, which is such a bonus. They won't have to go on a 2-week course with computers to learn how to deal with all this. Yeah. It's just a case of getting that muscle memory in to just changing their ways ever so slightly. And it is easy done, and you can teach old dogs new tricks.
Yeah, of course. And at the end of the day, this is actually, we've done a bit of testing with some mechanics, and it's actually quicker to operate than it is to remove wheel nuts indicators.
Right.
And a lot of mechanics, the wheel nut indicators are just an inconvenience because it's, you know, sometimes they're stuck on, they've got to get some grips to wiggle them off, and then they've got to line them back up, and it's...
They snap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when you come onto that as well, it is quicker to use, but we've actually got a bit of an environmental piece on this as well, where... Right. The amount of single-use plastic waste by wheel nut indicators is crazy. So we can actually reduce single-use plastic by about 90% because the only bit of plastic we use is the little centre pin, and it's tiny.
Yeah.
So, and the chances are that that's going to be replaced a lot less than the wheel nut indicators. So it's a bigger picture on, and also as well is to ship in 100,000 wheel nut indicators, you need a lot more space on a container ship than 100,000 of my little pins that go in the middle.
Yes, very
so
true.
There's so many different aspects to this that my goal is to make it the industry standard that we can increase safety.
Yep.
We can drive down knowing that wheels aren't going to be coming off. We can make life easier for the mechanics and the tyre fitters because it's quicker and easier to operate.
Yep.
It's cheaper to replace the centre pin than it is to replace wheel nut indicators as well. So we're saving the operators a bit of cash.
Yep.
We're giving those drivers a bit of peace of mind that he's not going to see a wheel go past him and kill somebody. Because at the end of the day, if that driver's checked his wheel nuts at the beginning of the day as well as he can, if he's out on a long run, that wheel could still come loose and come off because of somebody else's error. So if the tyre fitter's not bolted a wheel on properly, the driver might have no way of stopping that from coming off. But he's the person that's sitting watching his wheel go and kill somebody in a, you know, wheel go into a baby seat. The impact of that on the driver is going to be absolutely, you can't even put it into words. I mean, if that was me sat there and I've just seen that, it's not even worth thinking about. So,
no.
And then obviously you've got the environmental impact as well, that we can reduce the single use plastics and reduce costs. It's just, It's a win-win as far as I can. I know I'm biased, but the amount of feedback I've had is, why wouldn't we adopt something like this if it can improve all of those things?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, there doesn't really seem to be any cons to it as well, you know?
No, I mean, the only, I'll be completely open about it. The only negativity we've had is, let's say, for instance, you've got a fleet of 1,000 trailers.
Yeah.
And you want to go and retrofit them to all of those trailers. It's substantial cost.
Yes.
And it's the time involved in replacing those. It takes about an hour an axle. It's, but at the end of the day, that cost is far less than if you've got a public inquiry because your wheels come off.
Absolutely.
And you're paying millions in court fees and compensation and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's, and I know cash is tight in the industry at the minute, but
just do it gradually.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a few of my customers are doing them where new vehicles come in with them fitted. So then over the course of a couple of years and they're replacing the fleet, they're coming in with them fitted.
Yeah.
But then a few of them are saying, look, safety's not got a price on it.
No.
It's, you know, it needs to be done. We can't risk having wheels come off.
Yeah.
A bit like what you said earlier, spend 10 grand to save 20 grand. They could be spending a substantial amount of money on replacing the whole fleet.
Yeah,
but they could be saving themselves millions in public inquiries. And at the end of the day, worst case scenario, if someone's prosecuted, they've got a criminal conviction on their record as a director of the company.
Yeah,
the driver's seen and witnessed something like that's happened, and then the traffic commissioner come along and take your operator's license off you. You're out of business.
You literally lose.
You're
everything.
Not making any money.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a little bit, that's the only stumbling block we've had. Obviously, the cost of it is not great. It's not extortionate. It's actually about comparative to a standard nut and bolt anyway that you'd get from the OEMs. It's just got the added benefits. So, and again, a lot of people do replacement programs where they replace studs, nuts and wheels every couple of years. Well, if you're replacing them already, and it's a large stock order, I'll do it cheaper than what the OEMs are doing it for, and you're actually saving money.
There you go.
So it's all those things that, you know, you can always look at a negative and make it a positive. And that for me is, the cost is obviously always going to be the biggest stumbling block.
Yeah.
Is it, people can find it great, absolutely love the product, but actually putting their hand in the pocket and, you know, putting the money where their mouth is can be a challenge.
Yeah.
But once people start seeing the benefits of it, and I think also as well is within this industry, you know as well as I do, that it just takes a couple of big boys to take it on board and everyone else sits up and looks because no one wants to miss out.
No, definitely. Especially with the savings to be had. Yeah,
exactly that. If the savings to be had and you can increase safety and you can mitigate risks to the business and to the people on the road, the people driving, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. It's just a case of almost like monkey see, monkey do with new innovations. So, you just wait for the first person to have a go and just keep an eye on, how's it going with them and whatnot. So, I'm really interested to see how this is going to take off. I know it'll be slow to start with, but I'm definitely going to keep an eye on this one. And if it's all right with you, Chris, we'll perhaps catch up sometime next year once the product's out there. We've got a bit of feedback from people. I'm certainly going to speak to some of the people who I work for and just see if, because a few of them are involved in bulk haulage, which is always harsh on wheels, tires, vehicles, so it would make sense for them to try and get on board early as well. So
100%.
I'll see what I can do, and
I appreciate that.
I know there's a few people listen to this who operate vehicles or are involved in it. It's if they want to get in touch with you, Chris, what is the easiest way to do it?
Yeah, so a couple of ways. So we've got a website, which is coglock.co.uk, and that's C-O-G-L-O-C-K. There's a contact us form on there that you can fill in, put a brief message. Failing that, we've got an office number. The number is 01332 959 332. So you can speak to us about that, and we can get you a quote, or you can drop us an email on info@coglock.co.uk.
Excellent. And I presume as well you've got the social media accounts. I know there's a Facebook one. Yep. I take it you're elsewhere on social media.
Yeah, so we've got Facebook and Instagram. The biggest socials we've got is LinkedIn, with it being business. But you can contact us on any of those three platforms as well.
Perfect. Right. Well, it's been really interesting and enjoyable talking to you, Chris, about this. I wish you every success. And like I say, what we'll do is we'll get out on the market next year, and we'll catch back up perhaps in the spring or summer next year and just see how it's all going for you.
Yep, sounds good to me. Thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Lovely. Thanks for your time. Ta-da. Bye.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Commercial Tire Experts International Tires. Head to internationaltires.com to check out their vast range of truck and trailer tires available from stock, or give the specialist sales team a call on 0121 552 6888.